Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Well, welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll stick with us here this afternoon. Hope you enjoyed listening to Pastor Lutz in the last half hour. And then stay tuned for Pastor Rusnacko, who'll be coming up at 2 o'clock. Always enjoyable, and it is an honor to be sandwiched between the two of them. And I appreciate the ministry and the work that both those men are doing. And they're doing their best to point people to Christ and encourage people in their walk with Him. And we try to do that as well. And I hope you'll pray for us, pray for all of us, Pastor Lutz, myself, Pastor Rusnacko, that we can continue to do the work that God's given us opportunity to do. Pray for your own pastor as well. And again, as I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis, the host. And you can find more about me, more about the program, if you go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, not only can you find out more about me, you can listen to past programs there. I've got our Friday programs there. I've got our Sunday night programs there. And you can just click on the link there at livewithpastoral.com. You'll see the programs there on the right as you scroll down. And there's also a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and certainly invite you to come out and visit us. We have our Friday night Bible study tonight at 7 to 9. We'd love to have you come out. If you're looking for a Bible study where you can ask questions and where you can make comments, it's an informal Bible study, and your questions and comments are what drive it. And you can join us tonight, 7 o'clock at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And we meet in Richfield, Ohio, obviously. And don't look for a building with a steeple or you won't find us, but rather look for our door in a commercial plaza, at 4174 Wheatley Road. That's 4174 Wheatley Road. If you're not familiar with Wheatley Road, that's State Route 176, Broadview Road, comes down out of Cuyahoga County into Richfield, and right when it crosses Brecksville Road, it becomes Wheatley Road, and right there at that corner, that's where we're at. And you can find us in Suite 200 at 4174 Wheatley Road. That's right near where 77 and 271 cross. Pretty easy to get to from either Akron or Cleveland areas, pretty centrally located. And we'd love to have you visit us. If you can't make it out in person, join us online. If you go to rumble.com, that's rumble.com. And when you're on Rumble, just to click on the search bar for Richfield BBC or Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and you should find our broadcast there. We're on live. We have a live broadcast of our Friday night Bible study at rumble.com, and we also have our church services there Sunday morning, Sunday night, also broadcast on rumble.com as well. So let me encourage you to check us out. If you can't make it in person, we'd love to have you visit. And again, you can find out a lot of that information just by going to our webpage at livewithpastoral.com, and you can link over to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And there's also a number of other things there. There's some articles and such that I've written. Every month I have an article for our church newsletter. The latest article, When the World Becomes Ungovernable, is available there. And in it, I consider the rise of AI-generated videos and pictures, which is quickly pushing us into the day where we're not going to be able to trust what we see here or otherwise perceive, especially online. And when we reach that point, we can no longer believe our eyes and our ears. How are we going to know what to believe or to think about anything or anyone? And for that matter, how can a society function when we can't determine truth or trust any statement or incident or event or anything that we see here on media of any kind? How can we know whether it's real or not, real or AI? And so what does God have to say about that? And I think we can see some things in the Bible that would show where we're headed with this. And so I addressed that in the article, When the World Becomes Ungovernable. governable. There's also a link there just to the left of that, or I'm sorry, to the right of that, an index of various articles that I've written over the years that you can find on a variety of topics. Check all that out at livewithpastoral.com. There's other materials there as well, but just check that out. All right, well, we're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to get into our look here tonight. Got some things that are going on in Columbus that I wanted to address here, and just there's so much going on, and it's like drinking from a fire hose sometime, but we'll hit a couple of things. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody today through the things that we talk about. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Bless, we pray, ask you to use the program for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I was down in Columbus this past Tuesday, and I was sitting in on the Ohio Senate Education Committee, and they were reviewing a number of bills there, and one of the bills that they were reviewing was HCR 22, and if you're not familiar with HCR 22, that was the bill that, as Ohio reads the Declaration of Independence here on the 250th anniversary, of course, of the Declaration of Independence. That's coming up, of course, in 2026, 250th anniversary, and it's just a simple bill that is basically requesting that Ohio public school students read the Declaration of Independence publicly in the recognition and commemoration of that founding document of our nation. And, you know, there's always the people on the left that vote against it in the committee. That's what happened in the House when it was in the House committee. It was a straight vote. Every Republican voted for it. Every Democrat voted against it. And of course, this bill is sponsored by one of our local representatives, Bill Romer, a friend of mine down in he also lives down in Richfield. He's our representative. He's one of the sponsors of the bill, and he gave testimony on it previously. And when it made it to the House floor, everybody voted for it, even the ones that voted against it in the committee. All the Democrats, I'm pleased to say, joined with the Republicans, because it ought to be a bipartisan thing. Because as several people have pointed out, the Declaration of Independence was conceived and written long before either the Republican or the Democrat Party was ever conceived of. There were no parties. It's a truly partisan or nonpartisan document. And then it went to, of course, after it passed HCR, I think I might have said House Bill, it's House Concurrent Resolution, HCR 22. After it passed the House, it went to the Senate, and it went into the Education Committee in the Ohio Senate, and they had a hearing on Tuesday, and they again passed it on a strict party line vote. Every Republican voted for it, and the two Democrats on the committee voted against it, and it is now on its way to the floor, the Senate floor, and I think coming up sometime in early December, there's scheduling a vote for it. So be in prayer about that. Well, another bill that they had there, which is one I wanted to center in on right now. Oh, and before I dispense with the Ohio Reads the Declaration of Independence, we're assuming that it will pass hopefully unanimously in the Senate like it did in the House. Then it'll go to the governor for his signature. And so this is something you can encourage your local school to take part in and arrange for things for students to read that publicly and to commemorate our nation's founding. All right. Well, Senate Bill number 34. Now, this is an interesting one. Senate Bill 34, enact the Historical Education Displays Act. And what this bill calls for is the display of, there's, I believe, nine founding documents that are listed, or found, you know, various things that the bill calls for one or more of these documents to be displayed in Ohio's public school classrooms. They don't have to have them all. They can only have one if they only want one. They put a different one in each classroom. They put the same one in each. It's entirely up to the local school board, but this would require that every school, public school in Ohio, display one or more of these founding documents in their schoolroom. And the founding documents are on the list: United States Constitution, the Articles of Confederation, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Northwest Ordinance, the Magna Carta, and then also the mottos for the state of Ohio and the United States, as well as the Ten Commandments. Now, this is where things get interesting, because the Democrats are fighting against the display of the Ten Commandments. And the way they're doing this is as Senator Katherine Ingram, who on Tuesday introduced an amendment to remove the Ten Commandments as one of the allowed documents in the bill. She had a variety of objections, which I'll get to in just a moment. But one of the most significant ones is she said it shouldn't be included for the fact that it's not a founding document. The Ten Commandments is not a founding document, no matter how much people look to it or how significant it was to them, if that's not contradiction in terms right there. She said, when you start talking about the founding documents, the Ten Commandments may have been when you went to church, you went home, you did those things with your own religious beliefs. But that is not considered a founding document, despite the fact that John Adams or whoever used it for their own rationale as to what their beliefs were. And so she came up with some objections, and not the least of which is it's not a founding document. It's not historically significant. And then she tried to approach it from a religious aspect. And she referred to testimony of opponent testimony that had been held previously. And this was by Rabbi Megan Daugherty, I believe it is, of the National Council of Jewish Women. She's out of Oberlin. And she testified against this back in March, saying that treating this sacred scripture as just another item on the wall in the classroom or a secular school, as Senate Bill 34 would, demeans and trivializes the text that is holy to many, that will inevitably exclude statements, exclude students of minority faiths. Now, I found this interesting that a rabbi is saying that putting the Ten Commandments up on the wall demeans and trivializes a text. Let me go over here to the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, we have the Ten Commandments presented to us in Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Okay, it starts in verse number 7. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 7, where it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto the thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of the cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence. and with a might, though a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee, keep the Sabbath day. And he continues, verse 16, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that they may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Verse 17, thou shalt not kill. Verse 18, neither shalt thou commit adultery. Verse 19, neither shalt thou steal. And verse 20, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. And then finally the 10th one, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, nor his field, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. So there's the 10 commandments here in Deuteronomy chapter 5, okay? Now, keep in mind that the rabbi said that putting the Ten Commandments up on the wall is going to demean and trivialize a holy text. Well, here's the Word of God describing the God's Ten Commandments here, and it goes on to talk about them. And as we continue on and we get into chapter 6, and he continues to refer back to the commandments here that he had just given them, he says this. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 4, where he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Well, that's good right there. Keep them in your heart. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Verse 8, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And then he says this in verse 9, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Think about that. Okay, here's Rabbi Dardi saying that it trivializes the Ten Commandments to write them and post them up on the wall. And yet here's the Word of God himself saying, not only read and study them yourself, but post them on the doorposts to your house. The doorposts. Now, I've knocked on doors in some areas where there's been some Orthodox Jewish people living, and I've actually seen on the doorpost where they have a little box up there, and in that box they have the scripture that's written in there, the commandments, and it's hidden in that little box because they're following God's command to post them where people would see them. So to say that posting them on the wall demeans and trivializes a text that is holy to many, I think that the rabbi's statement demeans and denies the scripture that says they should be posted where they can be seen. But then this still comes back to the idea of, is it a founding document or not? Well, think about this for a moment. If you go to the Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C., do you know what you'll see? You'll see depictions of Moses and the Ten Commandments on the Supreme Court building. Why? Well, one is because Moses is recognized as one of the great lawgivers in history. His image is featured prominently on a statue on the east pediment where he holds the two tablets representing the Ten Commandments. And then on the south courtroom frieze along with other ancient lawgivers, there he is again. And the inclusion of the Ten Commandments there is there in order to remember what our law and sense of justice is based on in the United States of America. And people say, well, wait a minute. We're based on English common law. Isn't that what you've heard? Our laws are based on English common law? Well, that is true, but did you ever ask yourself where English common law comes from? You know, back in the late 800s, the year 870, I believe it was, there was a king that came to power in Britain, and he became known as Alfred the Great, and the only King Alfred in British history, and so I guess he deserves the name Great, but no, he's called Alfred the Great because he began unifying the various kingdoms, such as Wessex and Sussex and different ones, and in the process of unifying them, he developed a sense of common law. That common law that he developed is put in his what was it that he called it? I think like a doomsday book. It's not a doomsday book. I had the name in front of me in a minute ago, but I can't think of it right at the moment. No, I'll come up with it here in a minute. But it's the Dombach. That's it. Thank you. I knew it was in there somewhere. Dombach, D-O-M-B-O-C. And the reason I got confused with Doomsday Book, that was a history recorded of a number of things much later in British history. But Dombach actually translates in modern English to Doom Book. And this was a legal code that Alfred put together based on Christian principles, specifically looking at the law of Moses, looking at the Ten Commandments. You ever stop to consider when somebody says, well, you can't legislate morality? But that's mostly what we do. We legislate morality all the time. And to try to say that you can't use the Bible to legislate. Well, do you ever wonder why murder is against the law, why theft is against the law? Well, the reason is because it was against English common law. Well, why was it against English common law? Well, Alfred the Great looked at the law of Moses, and in the Ten Commandments, when it said, thou shalt not kill, it was specifically talking about murder. And so he said, hey, God said we ought not to murder, therefore, that's going to be against the law. And why should theft be against the law? Well, you can't legislate morality. Well, it's immoral. Because it's against God's law. Well, you can't use the Bible King Alfred looked at the Bible, and he saw in the Ten Commandments, it said, thou shalt not steal. And he said, that's part of common law. Not going to steal. Theft's against the law. And he looked at these things, and he considered some of the laws from the various Anglo-Saxon kingdoms of his day, and he compared them to what the Bible said. And so we find that English common law is based on the Word of God, on the Ten Commandments. And our laws here in the United States of America, based on English common laws or based on the Ten Commandments, don't you think the Ten Commandments are a historical document? Don't they deserve, they're on the walls and represented at the United States Supreme Court building, and yet people say, oh, it's against the Constitution, it's unconstitutional to display the Ten Commandments. Well, it's right there on the very walls and in front of the very building where the justices sit. There's Moses and the Ten Commandments. No, this is a founding document. And as Senator Annie Brenner points out, the head of the Education Committee there in the Ohio Senate, it's not going to be the state of Ohio saying that you have to put this one, and that one up there. He says, here's a list of founding documents that local school districts will pick which ones and put one, and how many will go in which classrooms. Oh, but if you put the Ten Commandments up, that's religious proselytization. And again, the rabbi said that we don't proselytize, and this is going to exclude students of minority faith, and this is going to make them feel left out in some way, and it's going to make them feel uncomfortable because the schools ought to be safe spaces. Well, let me ask a question. If somebody sees the Ten Commandments up on the school wall, what religion is being proselytized for? Well, let me tell you, speaking as an independent fundamental Baptist pastor, it's not proselytizing to make you a Baptist. It's not proselytizing to make you a Christian. Last I saw, Moses was a Jew. So if anything, it's proselytizing to make you Jewish. So if anybody be upset, we'd be upset, wouldn't we? Because we'd say, we don't want people to be influenced to become Jewish. We want them to be Christian. We want them to be born again. We want them to be independent Baptist, fundamental Baptist. No. The Ten Commandments is a founding historical document, and they're up there to let our students know where our country came from, where our rights came from. It comes from God. I hope you remember that as we go into Thanksgiving next week. Have a great Thanksgiving. Remember, God is the source of all our blessings. Thanks. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.